Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Would you permit me to give you some advice? Do I have enough gray hair that I can give you some advice? Of course, that may very well be the thing that turns off all advice. Well, what could he know? What could he possibly know? My advice is simply this. Are you ready? Where God asks you to go, go. That's it. Where God asks you to go, go. I mean, even if he just hints, he doesn't have to hit you over the head with a 2x4. If he just hints that he wants you to go a certain way, go. Because God always leads to the best place. Let me say it again. God always leads to the best place. Now keep in mind, it's a journey. When God leads you, he's not going to snap a finger and your world change overnight. It's a journey. And there will be obstacles along the way. I mean, Satan is busy erecting obstacles. Your own carnal nature is involved, and so that's always an enemy to be fought. There will be struggles, there will be challenges, but you want to go where God wants you to go. Because the alternative is unthinkable. Where is it? Proverbs 13:15. The way of the unfaithful is hard. The old King James Version says the way of the sinner is hard. I sort of like the NIV better because a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as sinners. That's somebody else. But NIV says unfaithful. In other words, when you're not living by faith, you are unfaithful. And the way of the unfaithful is hard. That's my advice to you this morning. As we think together about a lesson that I've titled, God Always Leads to the Best Place. No regret living. Yeah, you won't be exempt from dealing with life, but it'll be a no-regret kind of life when you look back and you think and can say, well, to the best of my ability, I did it God's way. Don't know where that's coming from. Now, when I talk about the way of the unfaithful is hard, we've all been down that road. We've all beat our head against that stone wall. And so I don't want you to think that I have never been down that road. Oh, yes. And in so many ways, I still take detours on roads that I know God would not have me go down. But I am old enough now that I have learned that, you know, there's being stupid and there's being wise. We agonize with people who have sown their wild oats and then are in a stage of life when they're hoping and praying for a crop failure, someone said. You know, they are reaping what they have sown much earlier. And now they are crying out, well, why? Why me? It's not fair. Life is not fair. And I just want to say, oh, brother or sister, don't you know that for many years of your life, God was screaming at you, no, no, don't do that. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. I have competition this morning. I'm not sure where it's coming from. It may be better. Maybe we ought to just stop and listen to him. But when God, through his prophet, spoke to Israel, he told them over and over again, now when you go it my way, when you do it my way, it's going to be like a big highway out in front of you. I want you to look at, I've written down three passages that we have in the prophets, or maybe we have them, I'm not sure we do. Anything on the screen? Okay, nothing on, here we go. Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Boy, you talk about a GPS system. There it is. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. Oh, when you do it God's way, oh, that's the way to go. And then I love the statement in Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Fools will not go about on it. Where God asks you to go, you go it that way. In your marriage, in your recreation, in your social life, in your making money, in your spending money. I don't care what it is. If God hints he wants you to go a certain way, you go that way. Because if you don't, it's going to be hard. Bless your heart. You're going to be hitting your head up against a mighty boulder, and it's going to be tough. And one of these days, when your hair's gray, you'll get up and say the same thing I'm saying, but you will have spent many years, many fruitless years, in doing it another way. Well, God leads us to the best place regarding money. In fact, God, for some reason, seems to focus on money. He says a lot about money. Jesus said a lot about money. In fact, I've been told that he said more about money than he did anything else. I was talking with Harry Edwards this past week because yesterday, Harry had a PET scan. Do you know what a PET scan is? Well, I didn't really know what a PET scan was, but Harry explained it to me. It's the most elaborate test to detect cancer. You can take lesser expensive and lesser complicated tests beforehand that'll do a lot. But that PET scan is sort of the definitive test. And Harry will not know for a couple of more days what the results were, but needless to say, he was apprehensive as we are apprehensive with him, because it's sort of the indication of how things are going. And he told me this. He said, in a PET scan, they inject you with sugar. And so in advance of the PET scan, you're not to have anything with sugar in it, because they want to inject you with sugar or glucose. And somehow, that sugar will collect around areas where the cancer is concentrating. And so that PET scan will reveal the hot spots, as Harry called it. The hot spots in your physical body where the cancer has concentrated. Well, how we use our money as a Christian is our PET scan. That's where the hot spots will be revealed. The month of February for us at 10th and Broad is our stewardship month, and you'll hear more about it in February than you will any other time. Well, February is your PET scan month. Now, you may not like it. You may not look forward to it, just like Harry did not look forward to his test yesterday. Because many of us would rather live our lives in blissful ignorance. We don't really want to know the hot spots where disease has concentrated in our lives. But giving, you see, reveals our priorities. Why? Well, because there is never enough money. Hear me on this, there is never enough money. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, there's never enough money in my situation, but I know it's not the case in a lot of other people's situation. Folks, that is absolute deception. I don't care what your income level is, there is never enough. If you have a low income level, there's never enough. If your income level is high, you never have enough. Donald Trump doesn't have enough. Because you see, whatever you are or wherever you are income-wise, your expenses and your indebtedness and your obligations increase proportionately. So there is never enough. So you have to make choices. And how you make those choices just reveals almost everything about us. And God says, put me first in those choices, and you will be blessed. Now that's the passage Jerry has reminded us of for many years, Malachi 3. Test me on this, but you put me first. I've asked Jerry Carr to come up here. I want to ask him two or three questions. And I have a reason for it. You can share this one.
Well, thank you very much.
Does Jerry look as old as I do? Did you know Jerry and I, the Carrs, and I placed membership on the same Sunday almost 30 years ago?
Hard to believe.
So,
30 years.
little Alan, you know. How old was Alan?
I don't know.
A couple years old.
He's a little guy. Three.
3 years old. Mark was about the same thing. Well, we've been around for a long time. That's not why I've asked Jerry to come up here. I've asked Jerry to come up here because Jerry and Deborah have concentrated much of their ministry the last several years in the area of finances. They head the class Financial Peace University and have even gone to be certified as financial counselors by the Dave Ramsey organization. I just wanted to emphasize some things with Jerry's support here. When Malachi said, test me in this, You put me first financially. There is a little voice in the back of our mind, again, regardless of our financial level, that says, no way. Or at least, no way, not now. That's preacher talk. That is pie in the sky. That is, you know, it just doesn't make any earthly sense. So what I wanted to ask Jerry, by the way, in regard to financial peace, I heard Elmer Johnson say not long ago that he and Linda have taken it 3 times. So if you've not taken financial peace, you ought to think about it real, real seriously. Jerry, what I want to ask you, doesn't Dave Ramsey in Financial Peace University say that if you're going to get your financial house in order, if it's in a state of disorder right now, if you're ever going to get that mess cleaned up, that you've got to put the Lord first? Does he say that?
Well, yeah, he does, and he shows that on his budgeting form. The way we teach budgeting is that giving is the very first thing off the top. He talks about first fruits, and you should do that first. In fact, he says the only way he could do it in his life was to his giving first, and then budget everything else. So take that giving off and bring first fruits to the Lord, and then budget whatever you have.
So even though you may have thousands of dollars in credit card debt or some other obligation, and boy, they're pounding you, still, you've got to put the Lord first.
Yeah, he teaches, when he talks about giving, he talks about two types of giving. He talks about tithing, giving a tenth, and offerings. He says the tithe should be brought to the local church, just like they did in the Old Testament when they brought the first fruits to the storehouse. And then offerings are things above the tithe which are given out of excess, should always be given out of your excess money. And what he's trying to get people to understand is if you ever get out of debt, you're going to have excess funds.
So tithe, even before everything's perfect, before you get all those credit cards paid, start as quickly as you can giving the Lord the tithe and the offerings.
Yeah, he doesn't really use those words particularly, but in his demonstrations and his talk about giving, he talks at length about the very low percentage of evangelical Christians that actually practice tithing. And he goes on to say that he understands the debt situation. Of course, his whole program is built on that. And then he talks about the tithe and the offering, so he never teaches anything other than the tithe and the offering. So when he talks about giving, he's talking about tithing. And he uses a very excellent example in his tapes, which I'm going to show you now. So I think it's a great way to look at money. He says most people think that you are going to have more if you hold your money in a clenched fist. He says that's the way most people view money. But he said if you hold money in a palm, in an open palm situation, he says, yeah, sure, a lot are going to get out, but more can get in. If you hold your money this way, you'll never have any more. Always have only what you have.
Yeah.
So it's a great example.
Good figure.
Great example.
Okay, big question. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it work?
Well, you know, we hear from people that have come through our class, but a lot of people don't want to share that kind of information with you. But I can speak for our family if that will help in any way. Deborah and I have been blessed, truly blessed, in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life, every sense we begin bringing to the Lord a tenth of what we owe. Of what we make. And I can say that without any kind of stipulation at all.
So you've seen it work in your own life.
Seen it work in our own life, yeah.
When's the next Financial Peace University?
We are going to start a Financial Peace class. Where our plan is to start one in September. However, if we find enough interest, we'll start one before that. Okay. So, and also remember that we stand ready to counsel with using our counseling skills financially with anybody that wishes to do so.
So you'll go to their home even.
We'll do whatever.
And or meet at the church or whatever. And
we'll
just
do it anywhere, anytime.
Have them lay out their
place.
Situation.
Absolutely.
Jerry, thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me some credibility on that, because I know you've had some experience in financial peace. Remember now, where the Lord asks you to go, always go. Always go. Because God honors faith. The other way is to use a Bible figure, or to use Bible language, is kicking against the goads. Do you recognize that term? The Apostle Paul, when he is sharing his own conversion experience, tells it three times in the book of Acts. Twice, he doesn't mention this, but in the last time that he tells about his own conversion, and it's found in Acts chapter 26, verse 14, Paul recalls how that on the road to Damascus, we all fell down onto the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, he provides that little detail, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then Paul remembers, or on purpose adds this little detail of something the Lord told him. The Lord said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, the figure of that, a goad was what a person who dealt with oxen would use to get them to go where he wanted them to go, and that oxen sometimes would kick back on that goad. And Paul said, that's exactly what I was doing all those many years of my life. According to the Lord, I was kicking against the goads. And that's what I'm saying. When you go against God's way, oh, you may make it. In fact, you know, there's so many people in the world, they don't know any different. They just think misery and problems and drama and all these kind of things, that's just the way you live life. They've never tasted it any other way, doing it the Lord's way. If only we could convince ourselves, again, in other areas besides money, but especially in money, that where God leads, that's where we need to go. Now, if you think life is hard now, and it can be, I know of situations in this congregation, just makes me cry almost, because they're going through such misery in their personal lives. And a lot of it, it's not of their doing. I mean, they just, you know, dealing with life. So yes, life can be hard now when you're doing it God's way. He wants you to know that. There is no pie in the sky. There is no hype in the Bible. It can be hard. But if you think life's hard now, just imagine it without God in it, without God in the picture. God leads us to the best place. He does. He leads us to the best place. And in regard to giving and the use of our money, I want to close this morning with just the reading of, I think, the two definitive passages where God leads us. And I urge you to live it this way. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. And I'm just going to read through verse 11. Stay with me, please. I know that reading long passages tends to cause folks to nod off, but just stay with me. Listen to what Paul is saying. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The other definitive statement is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world. And incidentally, folks, that would include any American. By Paul's standards, there's not a person here who wouldn't be rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So what do you do with that information? What do you do? What do you do when you're in a mess financially? What do you do when you just don't see a way in the world you can tithe or have any excess to give beyond that? What do you do? Well, you start. You start. You start today. You can't relive your past. You can't relive and remake bad decisions. All you can do is start today. Giving in faith means giving all you can afford, whatever that is. Whatever it is. And young people, by the way, I'm talking to you. I don't know where the idea ever came that college students are exempt or high schoolers are exempt or junior high school. If you're old enough to be a Christian, you're old enough to be obedient to these principles. You need to give. Give whatever you can afford. But then, giving in faith is after you come up with a figure of what you can afford, taking a few steps over just thin air. Over thin air. Nothing underneath you. But the promise of God. You don't see how you're going to do that. And I can't give you a figure this morning. It'd be inappropriate. I don't even really give you a percentage. Give what you can afford, then take a few steps beyond over thin air, depending on the Lord to provide. Who is God? He is Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22, right? We looked at that last week. What does that mean, Jehovah Jireh? It means the Lord will provide. Now you've got to act on that if you live by faith. Now if you're in a mess financially, and some of you are, a mess, you know what you've got to do? You've got to do just what I've said. Give what you can do Take a few steps over thin air. And then say, Lord, what are you going to do about this? You've got to make your problem God's problem. Think about that. God invites you to do that. Make your problem His problem. That's living by faith. That's giving by faith. That's where it starts. That's the Lord's way. It's the best place when you start trusting God with your money. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to have a big test. It's going to be the big test. And I'm not talking about the one at the end of time. I'm talking while you are living. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to call up everything you can call up just to stand. Well, when that time comes, if you've trusted God with your money, your confidence will not be shaken when that big test comes, because you'll know God is faithful. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. That's my humble advice to you this morning.